It's day two of our consecration retreat, and today we will talk about St. Louis de Montfort's influence on the church. Stay right where you are. It's coming up now. Hey there, come on in and make yourself comfortable. It's strange to be here on a Saturday, but I am with you. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be with you here for the next 30 minutes as we are now entering into day two of our 33-day consecration preparation retreat. We've already got one day under our belt. Today we're going to take a look at the influence of St. Louis de Montfort on the church. I think this is important to focus on because of the fact that you might understandably have some doubts as we go through this process. Is this really legitimate? And you're going to hear quotes from several of our past Holy Fathers about this retreat and their endorsement of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And after that's done, we're going to take a look at the Mass readings from today's Daily Mass. It worked out last night, and I think it's important because here's what I'm going to do. I really, really, really will encourage you to stick around for the entire 30 minutes. It's just 30 minutes. I think one of the big mistakes that we make when we go into a consecration like this or retreat, whatever you want to call it, and I do this too, so don't think I'm pointing fingers because I'm not, is that we get into a routine and we start to go through the motions. If we do that with a preparation like this, we're not going to get out of it what we should get out of it. It's as simple as that. We've got to put something in. The Lord's going to give us a lot back in return, but he expects us to do something, so we really want to be serious about it. As I was reading over the Daily Mass readings today, they really do relate to what we're doing here, and I'm pleased to be able to feature God's Word in addition to this preparation material. I want to give you a little bit more than just the preparation, so if you can stick around, I would strongly encourage you to do so. If we continue on this path together, we're going to get more out of it than if we do it individually, because that's just human nature. And as we look at the gospel from today's Mass, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm glad to have you with me. I hope you got your beverage, your snack. I've got my nice tall glass of water. That's my beverage du jour for today. And I also have my window open because it's a beautiful day here in South Jersey. If you hear any sounds coming in from the outside, somebody was out there cutting the grass earlier. I hope you excuse that and understand that it's just such a beautiful day. I've got to keep the window open. And I'm ready to get started. How about you? Let's begin with a prayer, and then I'll have a couple other comments before we go into Father Gately's material. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day on this earth. We thank you for this great gift of total consecration to your Son, Jesus, through our Blessed Mother Mary. And we ask you to help us, to guide us, and to continue to increase our desire to grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask you to bless us, bless all our family members, bless anyone who is making this total consecration and help it bear fruit in our lives. We ask this through the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary as we begin and ask for her intercession. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I wanted to mention something. I've gotten a few emails about this. I guess I've gotten a little lax doing this show for so many years, this consecration preparation, and a lot of people have emailed, several people have emailed me and said, how come you didn't send out another email after we signed up? And I apologize for that, because I didn't say that I would, but the reason I ask for email addresses is that as we go on through this consecration, sometimes I need to send out an email. That's going to happen infrequently, but it will happen sometimes if I feel something needs to be clarified. One of the things that I typically would have done in the past when I first started doing this is maybe detail exactly how you can listen to the program, because it's changed a little bit. But if you're listening to this, obviously you figured that out, but I thought it bears repeating quickly. There are three ways to listen to the program. It's not done the way it used to be. You could in the past go to my Blog Talk Radio page, at a set time, 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Saturday or Sunday, and the show would automatically play. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore because of the fact that I now upload the program as a podcast. It works a little bit differently. I get better sound quality doing it, and it fits better into my schedule and really into your schedule as well because you can listen to it whenever you want. So there are three ways you can hear the program. Number one, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/GZIMAK. That's my show page. And there's a link to it from my radio page as well on my website. So that's one way to get to it. And that lists all of the Blog Talk Radio programs. As the podcasts are uploaded, they'll appear on that page. And you can listen to any one that you want. Way back to the very beginning if you want to really torture yourself. But you can also go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and go to the radio page. If you go to the click on the radio tab, you'll see a Blog Talk Radio player, and right from there you can listen to, I believe, the last five broadcasts. So the last five programs get loaded up there, so you can listen directly from followingthetruth.com, or finally, you can download the podcast from iTunes. No cost, but remember, and I mentioned this in the past couple of shows, it's 24 hours behind, so today's program will appear tomorrow. That's just the nature of how the agreement with Blog Talk Radio and iTunes works. Don't get too hung up on the fact that you're a day behind. We'll work it out in the end because we have 5 days for review, so we'll make sure you'll have that time so you can still make your consecration on October the 7th. Okay, does that make sense? If you have any questions, as always, as we go through this, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's take a look at day two, St. Louis de Montfort's influence on the church, from Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. There's a story from St. Louis de Montfort's life that particularly expresses his passion, which we pondered just yesterday. And let me just pause here and say, during yesterday's program, I threw out the challenge from Father Gately. Are we passionate? Are we excited about this retreat? Are we taking it seriously? And if not, if we're not feeling that passion, that desire, are we asking the Lord for it? And really, that was the takeaway from yesterday. We should really care about what we're doing because it's going to be life-changing. And remember, don't get too hung up over feelings. If you don't think your life is being changed, stick with me. We're going to explain it over the next 32 days or whatever we have left. Your life is changing. Once you turn control over to the Blessed Mother, you need to believe, and this is a church-approved devotion. The church tells us that if we put the effort into this, there will be fruits that result, even if you don't feel the fruits. I'm going to explain to you the many fruits that you might be experiencing and you don't even realize. But let's give it time. We're going to talk about this as we go forward. But just know that you want to have a passion. You want to get excited about this because this devotion will bring you closer to Jesus Christ, even though you might not realize it's happening. You know, that's the way Mary works. She works behind the scenes. So anyway, that's yesterday's takeaway. In the town of Pontchateau, St. Louis inspired the peasants to build a huge monument to the Passion of Christ on a neighboring hill. For 15 months, hundreds of peasants volunteered their skills and labor to build it. When completed, it stood as a massive structure, a real labor of love, and on the day before it was supposed to be dedicated by the bishop, word got back to Louis that his enemies had convinced the government to destroy it. They had lied to the authorities, saying that the structure was actually meant to be a fortress against the government. When Louis received the disappointing news, he told the thousands of people who had gathered for the blessing ceremony, "We had hoped to build a Calvary here. Let us build it in our hearts. Blessed be God." Wow, isn't that powerful? That is really powerful. And this is representative of something known as spiritual detachment or spiritual indifference, holy indifference. It's called a lot of different things. And in his spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius of Loyola refers to this. What essentially that indifference is the fact that anything that happens to us is allowed to happen by God. All right, anything that happens in our life is allowed to be to happen by God. We will accept sickness, We'll accept health. We'll accept the fact that we're rejected by other people. We'll accept the fact that we're loved by other people. We'll accept the fact that we die at an early age. We'll accept the fact that we die at a very late age. We live to old age. We accept the fact that we're rich. We accept the fact that we're poor. It doesn't matter to us. Because why? Because it's God's will. And this is an example of that. That's a grace. That's not something we can achieve on our own. Because as human beings with a fallen human nature, we care. I care if I have a little money as opposed to a lot of money. But we want to get away from that. How do we get away from that? We get away from that with the grace that the Lord gives us. And that's what's going to come about. That's one of the fruits of a devotion like this. Okay, back to the book. One thing about doing the Lord's work. It doesn't always turn out according to our plans. For example, St. Louis surely had planned that his monument to Christ would last more than a day. Yet the saint obediently accepted the destruction of his plans and blessed God. Because of this kind of detachment from his own will and attachment to God's will, Louis became an instrument used by God to accomplish even mightier works. So although his physical monument was destroyed, Louis' teaching eventually became a huge edifice in the church that exercised great influence on many popes and on Catholic spirituality. Indeed, de Montfort's passionate labors paid off in the end, even if he didn't see the fruit himself. Now, this is an example of someone not seeing the fruit of his work, but yet God still blessed his work, and his work is continuing to this day. Remember, he popularized this devotion, this total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So it's going to be the same way in our lives. Oftentimes we don't necessarily see or feel the fruit of our efforts, right? But it doesn't mean they're not happening. You can't see air, but it's there. You can't see electricity, but try sticking a key into the socket. I mean, don't do that. Believe it or not, I did that once when I was young. It was not a very smart thing to do. But my point is, electricity works, even though we can't see it. So these efforts that we're putting in, they will bear fruit, even if they aren't going to be obvious to us. That's the way our faith grows. Sometimes God lets us see the fruit of our faith, our prayers, but other times he doesn't, because why? He wants us to trust him. And that's how our faith grows. As we are just beginning our preparation for consecration to Jesus through Mary, let's ponder some of the support various popes have given to St. Louis' teaching. May the testimony of their support strengthen our resolve to journey on to Consecration Day, and may it help us to trust that our consecration truly will bear great fruit in our lives, even if we don't yet fully understand how. And so we're going to look at the testimony from several past Holy Fathers about total consecration, about Marian consecration. And the intent, Father Gately's intent here, is for it to build us up, to get us excited about the effectiveness of this devotion, this total consecration, to continue to inspire us as we go through these 30 plus days of preparation. Because if you don't believe in it, you're not going to want to go through with it. So we need to get motivated a little bit here. Let's look at what these popes said. Blessed Pope Pius IX stated that St. Louis' devotion to Mary is the best and most acceptable form. Okay? And you remember, too, that St. Louis lived during the 18th century. So it's not like he has been around for thousands of years. He hasn't. So in a few hundred years, we see testimony from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 popes right here about the power of this devotion. Pope Leo XIII not only beatified de Montfort in 1888, but granted a church indulgence to Catholics who consecrate themselves to Mary using de Montfort's formula. Moreover, this pope was reportedly so influenced by St. Louis' efforts to spread the rosary that he wrote 11 encyclicals on this preeminent Marian devotion. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Pope St. Pius X, like Leo XIII, also recommended de Montfort's teaching on Mary to the faithful. In fact, he granted a plenary indulgence in perpetuity to anyone who would pray de Montfort's formula for Marian consecration, and he offered his own apostolic blessing to anyone who would simply read True Devotion, which is the book by St. Louis de Montfort. This pope so strongly encouraged the faithful to follow de Montfort's path of Marian consecration, or devotion, because he himself had experienced its power. In fact, in his Marian encyclical, Ad Deum Illum, the saintly pope expressed his own dependence on de Montfort in writing it, which becomes obvious when one compares it with True Devotion. The pope's encyclical continually reflects the tone and spirit of de Montfort's classic work, as evidenced by sentences like this: "There is no surer or easier way than Mary in uniting all men with Christ." Good stuff, right? Pope Pius XI simply stated, "I have practiced this devotion ever since my youth." Venerable Pope Pius XII canonized St. Louis in 1947, and in his homily for the Mass of Canonization referred to de Montfort's Marian teaching as solid and right. Then when the Pope addressed the pilgrims who had come for the canonization, he said that de Montfort leads us to Mary and from Mary to Jesus, thus summarizing the meaning of Marian consecration. And, you know, it's important for us to remember that even though we call this Marian consecration, and Father Gately will sometimes call it consecration to Mary, but he emphasizes in the introduction of his book that ultimately this is total consecration to Jesus through Mary. This is leading us toward Jesus. That's what this consecration does. Finally, Pope St. John Paul II promoted de Montfort's teaching more than any other pope. We'll learn more about this during the fourth week of the retreat. It's enough here to recall two amazing facts. Number one, that John Paul's papal motto was Totus Tuus, totally yours, which he took directly from de Montfort's shorter prayer of consecration. Second, that John Paul described his reading of True Devotion to Mary as a decisive turning point in his life. So as we look at today's material, and that's it, we're just going to say a little prayer in a couple minutes, but as we look at the recommendation from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 popes, we have to realize that these popes, they're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to the faith, right? We would be wise to take their advice if they are recommending this devotion as being incredibly helpful to get us closer to Jesus. Why would we not give it a shot? And I think that's what we want to think as we go forward, because the tendency for us, whether it comes from the devil or not, we're going to tend to, as we go through this, either become afraid to commit or we're going to get bored and we'll have other things that will capture our interest. Let's resolve in the beginning, because this is where we set the stage. This is where we lay the foundation. This is why I want you to listen to the show, because I want to be here to keep you going, because your tendency is going to be to slack off. So is mine. That's why it helps me to be here and to do this. But let's resolve to ask for the grace to continue to completion, because this is so powerful. And let's ask for the grace to put aside the distractions, so that we really can give it our best effort, okay? Today's prayer: "Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, prepare me to give myself fully to living out this true and solid devotion." Very simple, right? Very simple prayer, but a powerful one. Now, tomorrow, we're going to focus on de Montfort's consecration, part one, and then part two, we'll focus on the next day. Day five, should we really give Mary everything? Which is kind of appropriate for that day of material, because September the 8th is Our Lady's birthday. So we'll talk about, should we really give Mary everything? The next day, should we really give Mary everything, part two? And then following that, Thursday, September the 10th, a quick, easy, and secure way to holiness. And guess what? That's it for the first week. So we're through the second day's material. Got five more days, and the first week we can check off. You're going to see, this will fly by. Now, since I do have time, let's open up our missals and look at today's daily mass readings. Let's let the Lord speak to us through the pages of Sacred Scripture. The first reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. "Brothers and sisters, You once were alienated and hostile in mind because of evil deeds. God has now reconciled you in the fleshly body of Christ through his death, to present you holy, without blemish, and irreproachable before him, provided that you persevere in the faith, firmly grounded, stable, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister. None of us deserve to be able to go to heaven. We have all sinned. We can claim that, yeah, we were born with original sin. That's not fair. It's Adam and Eve's fault. But even despite that, you and I have committed numerous sins throughout our lives. It's the way it is. I mean, it's just keeping it real. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve God's love. We didn't do anything to earn God's love. We've sinned repeatedly. We've turned our back on him. Pardon me, I got a frog in my throat. But yet he loves us unconditionally, and through the person of Jesus Christ, who came to earth to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead, through that sacrifice of Christ and the grace that comes from him, we are able to go to heaven, and we are able to become holy. Think about how many times you've sinned in the past week. And the little stuff, even the negligence. Maybe you didn't do a good job praying. Maybe you were distracted. Maybe you weren't nice to somebody. Maybe you talked behind somebody's back. Maybe you were angry. You were impatient. Maybe you sinned greatly. Maybe you committed a mortal sin. Think about it for a minute and realize that one day you're going to be judged. Now, the church gives us the great sacrament of confession to absolve us of our sins so that we can be forgiven. Please take advantage of that sacrament. It's a great gift. The church gives us that sacrament. But if we truly love the Lord, we're going to want to do whatever we can to not sin. Makes sense, doesn't it? If I love somebody and I know that my actions hurt them, then I'm going to try to do what I can to stay away from these hurtful actions. If you're like me, and I know you're like me, you might not be as big of a sinner as me, but I know basically we're all the same. We have a fallen human nature. We sin more than we should. The church gives us this devotion, total consecration, so that we can grow closer to Jesus Christ. If we grow closer to Christ, we're going to sin less because we'll be more responsive to the grace that he gives us. That's one of the reasons we're doing this. We're doing it because we love Jesus. We might have the goal to, yes, get to heaven, but ultimately, our goal should be, because we love the Lord and because he gave everything, he gave his life for us and continues to be there for us, we should want to do whatever we can to become holier and to please him. And remember, too, that we will stand before him in judgment one day. And we don't want to be in a position where we say, well, you know, Lord, I know that the church gave me a devotion. I know that you gave me your mother while you were dying on the cross, but I didn't really believe in it, or I didn't have time in it. No, we want to take advantage of every opportunity we can to grow closer to our Lord so that we will sin less. And that's one of the beautiful things about this devotion. So we have been reconciled. We have been redeemed by Christ on the cross. Now comes the time where we have to work out our salvation. That's not a guarantee. The redemption, that's done. We've been redeemed. Jesus did his part. Now it's up to us to respond. Psalm 54 is the responsorial psalm. This is beautiful. God himself is my help. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer. Hearken to the words of my mouth. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness. God himself is your help. Isn't that good? I bet you might not know this, but you know what St. Louis de Montfort's motto was? This might surprise you, knowing that he is famous for popularizing this Marian devotion. St. Louis' motto is God alone. God alone. That's what this devotion is about. Mary brings us to Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. You see that? God alone. It's all about God, my friend. Don't think for a minute that this is that the goal of this devotion is just to get you closer to Mary. The ultimate goal is to get you closer to the Lord. That's where we're going with this. Let's look at today's gospel. This is a familiar one, and I've got an interesting spin on this. This hit me today, and let me just read it, and then we'll talk about it. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. While Jesus was going through a field of grain on a Sabbath, his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you not read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he went into the house of God, took the bread of offering, which only the priests could lawfully eat, ate of it, and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" Now, we all know the Pharisees. These were guys who were religious zealots. They believed in the law as given to them by Moses. But the problem with the Pharisees was that they were very self-righteous, and they weren't open to what the Savior had to say because they were closed-minded. They didn't care that the Scriptures predicted or prophesied that we would get a Messiah and that Jesus was fulfilling all these prophecies because they weren't listening. They were closed-minded, and they had added to the law. They had added man-made rituals to the law. And they would look down on others as being not religious when these other people would maybe not practice their man-made rituals or policies or laws, whatever you want to call them. The Pharisees were also religious separatists, meaning that they wanted to be the chosen people, and they really took a lot of pride in that. And they weren't willing to listen to Jesus when he opened up his salvation to all the world. They didn't like that. They were very self-righteous, and Jesus knew that. That's why he butted heads with these guys so many times. Now, when we read these readings, we look at them and we think, yeah, these guys didn't get it. They were jerks, Pharisees. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. But yet, you know, the problem is so many times we can be. We can be really self-righteous. We can have a lot of pride. We can look down on other people. We can disregard the teachings of Christ that we don't agree with. And I'm not just talking about the commandments that the church gives us, such as, the controversial ones, like birth control, same-sex marriage, abortion. We might believe in the church teachings on all of these things, but we can still ignore Jesus' words about anger, about loving your enemy. Right? We can ignore these things. About worshiping, we're not going to admit this, but worshiping material possessions, false gods. I don't have any false gods, but I can't give more to my church because I might need that money. I need my big screen TV. I need my luxury. You know, I work really hard. And we come up with all of these excuses. And really what we're doing is disregarding things that Jesus said. Let's ask ourselves today. Let's ask the Lord to send his Holy Spirit and enlighten us for any ways that we have become like the Pharisees. We're so used to it that we might be overlooking things. And again, you know what? The Holy Spirit is the spouse of the Blessed Mother. As we grow closer to her, she's going to help us to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Do you ever think, man, I'm really a sinner? Now, people have told me I didn't get a lot out of this total consecration because I'm still doing the same things I did before. Guess what? The fact that you recognize that, that's the Holy Spirit at work. The very first step to overcoming your sinful habits is to realize that you have them. A lot of people are completely desensitized and don't even realize they're sinning. So be thankful for that. Baby steps. That's what we're going to do. Baby steps, one day at a time. We are growing closer to our Lord Jesus. If you have questions, please let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. I am all out of time. God willing, I'm going to be back here. Check for the podcast around 2 p.m. on Sunday. If you need me, let me know. I've already started to pray for you. Please continue to pray for me and everyone making this total consecration. God bless you. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.